You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, my name is Vaughn Armstrong. I've played more characters in the Star Trek universe than anybody, and I was Admiral Forrest. You are listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is...
Tristan Riddell.
Tristan, you know what? Last week, we left off on an unusual note. We had some comments from listeners saying, "You gave us a cliffhanger! How dare you!" And we said, yeah, we did that. We're not always going to do that, because... Just like season cliffhangers, it's something you should do only sparingly. And don't worry, we did not forget about our associate producers and Patreon, all that lovely stuff. So, as far as our associate producers, let's name off the list. We have several people who are associate producers of TTJ, and they are Ju Kim, Kenneth Tripp, Bruce Lish, Dante Hopkins, Jamie Deuce, Brian Belisio, and Kay Janeway. Thank you guys very much for being associate producers of TTJ. And if you want to become a associate producer of this show or any other Trek FM show, go to trek.fm/Patreon, become a monthly subscriber, and depending on which level you contribute, you get certain perks. And so please join in the fun. We're a listener-supported network, and all of the funds that we receive go into producing these podcasts. So without your help, they at this point really don't exist. So that's that. And, of course, the other way that you can help us out is by writing us a review on iTunes. We have one person to thank. We've gotten a review, a few days ago. And that was by JD2088. And sang some praises for us. Praised our voices, even, Tristan. They like to hear us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for listening and writing us a review. I also want to give a quick shout out to the artist whose image we used with permission in last week's show art. And if you have not seen this image, you ought to go to trek.fm/TTJ and take a look. It is a image of the Voyager crew, but animated style. And that's what this artist does. His name is Gary Anderson, and you can go on DeviantArt and find more of his work under the username of Nightwing1975. And I highly recommend doing that. Not only does he have animated style images rendered of the Voyager crew, but all of the other Star Trek crews, as well as other franchises. So definitely give it a look. I think his work is awesome, and we thank him very much here at TTJ for letting us use one of his images for our show art. So with all of that business taken care of, we can now officially start the show, and we are taking on a very big topic this week, Tristan. What are we doing?
We are taking on the origins of the Borg, which is something that you and I have no business taking on, but...
No, we don't!
We have just the right amount of ego to do it, and...
Are you sure?
I know I do.
Okay, well, I've been questioning it all week, man. Well, we're doing it anyway.
Last week, as you said, we ended on a cliffhanger, and for those of you wondering, not even Char knew that we were going to do that. Not even I knew that we were going to do that. I just did it as on the spur of the moment, and we actually got some reaction to the Borg where somebody tweeted us and said, the origins of the Borg has already been covered, and he sent us a link to a novel, and while we thank you for that, that is, in these two podcasters' opinion, a novel. That is not canon. We are talking about on-screen evidence of the origins of the Borg, and since there has been zero of that, that's why Char and I feel like we can make up our own story and whatever we want, because if you go back and listen to episode 97 of To the Journey, you hear us give these examples of origins of the Borg in kind of, let's say, the memory beta section of Star Trek, where...
Right. Now, were these not... I remember listening to this podcast in preparation for this episode, just to refresh on what exactly we said about that, because we talked about the origins of the Borg Queen. And I think there's a very stark difference there where I think actually the story you were referring to that the person tweeted us about, That was a Borg Queen origin, and thus the Borg also. But I don't know about you. I think there is a slight distinction we can make between the Borg Queen and the Borg. One did not necessarily come instantaneously with the other, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's a fun topic. It's really cool because there are no wrong answers. There's nothing that is, because nothing's official, because nothing is quote unquote canon, even though I hate using that word anymore, just because whenever right? like you whisper it online and then all these people come out of the shadows like, what canonical Star Trek? What? Yes, like we said, we can make up anything we want because it can't really be contradicted because there's so little evidence. And I've just been going over some notes here, and really the only thing that we know of is the Borg Queen talking about, and this could be hyperbole, talking about thousands of centuries ago where, you know, like they were using cybernetic enhancements or, and even that, I mean, I'm not even finding an exact quote for that, you know, with somebody saying thousands of centuries ago. And I don't even remember anybody saying that, but
I don't either. There's no source.
No, there is no source. Like I'm looking at Memory Alpha and there's just really no source for it. So take that with a grain of salt because I'm going to ignore that thousands of centuries. That's a long ass time.
It is. And that's not to say that it wasn't said and we're just not remembering it. But if there's not a source, well, at this point, I kind of have to question it just because it is a wiki and anybody can put it in there.
Yes, yes. And what we, I think the only thing, like, it's assumed that the origins are in the Delta Quadrant.
Yes.
But we also don't actually know that either.
No, we do not necessarily know that that is certain. We just know that that's where they are from in the TNG era timeline moving forward in the 24th century. That's where they live, basically. That's where their empire is located.
Yes, that is their current headquarters, and so we don't know if they originated there. No one has said yes or no to it, but I think the only past thing that we can hold on to is that they were around the time of the Vaudois, which on our calendar would be in the 15th century.
Okay, so we're talking a good few hundred years plus.
Yeah, so like, I think it would have been 1484. From our calendar. And so that's a long time ago. That's really cool. You know, like we were like in the 15th century, we were not exactly traveling the stars.
No.
Yeah.
I believe there were people exploring oceans and discovering land masses and whatnot. Continents.
Yes. And so like they had a technological leg up on this, on us from that perspective. So I think really what I wanted to do while tackling this is like there's a couple of ways that we can do it. Like you can come up with one idea. I can come up with another. We can come up with it together. We could like write an episode around it. Actually, well, the entire thing around it is the story is that this is part of our web series where we can do whatever the hell we want. And it's 7 of 9 dishing on the mythology of her own people, of the Borg, like everybody else is. And right. So is it true? Is it not? Even after this episode, it could be labeled as myth, as in rooted in truth, but not exactly true.
I'm glad you said that because I figure the key word here is mythology, meaning it can right. be made up. It could be based in some truth with some things exaggerated. You just don't know. That's the beauty of us getting to make this up. Now, I do have a slight theory. I've been thinking about this all week, thinking how in the world are we going to live up to this topic? I have an idea on possibly where we could start, but if you also have one, you can go first. I don't think my idea is that great.
Well, how about this? You share your idea, and okay. then we can evolve from that, we can build on it, or we can try something else.
Okay, that sounds perfect. We're essentially just improvising in the writer's room on the whiteboard right now. We are writing the origins of the Borg. Crazy. So this is not an outlandish idea. And in fact, many theories kind of touch upon this idea of the Borg being kind of a originally organic species, much like us, but relying very heavily on technology. We're thinking, I mean, I'm thinking things like, you know, Google Glass on steroids. They're using technology to basically run every function of their entire lives, their society, their brains, anything you can possibly think of. It all runs out. And one of the origin stories that I know of in the literary universe, the aforementioned literary universe, which is not canon, it was getting a virus. And, you know, it affected these people both biologically and technologically, which is unique, but they're unique people. And it, basically, it's the Black Plague of the Borg. And so what do you do in that situation? You either get over it or you have a massive die-off. Yes? Well, my thought is the person who came up with basically the cure for this disease came up with the idea of assimilation. Use the technology to learn and come up with the cure itself, which is why the Borg became so technologically reliant despite organic components and why they assimilate, because it worked for them in this very desperate time of need. And the woman who came up with this, of course, eventually becomes a control freak and becomes the Borg Queen because she has to run everything. She is now the supreme leader. So what do you think about that as a way to start off? Do you like it? Do you not? Do you have something more grandiose? Please tell me.
Well, that is very much something that is in the novels. That is very similar to something that has been talked about and has been done. I kind of want to go in some. I want to go in a different direction. I want to go in a direction that hasn't been broached on within the Memory Beta universe, within the novels or the comic books or anything like that, or short stories.
Sure, I'm absolutely down with that, but I thought really the most logical course of action would be something like that, which is why I think there are so many theories that kind of go off of that concept.
Yes. Yeah, it's a very good concept. I mean, it's a very logical one. To me, it's kind of like The Walking Dead, where, okay, so, you know, like, we've always kind of equated the Borg to zombies of Star Trek. Like, that is zombie episode, like, that's, you know, like, if you get too close to them, you'll become one, that kind of thing. You know, their tubules is the zombie bite.
Right.
Look how we've gone in a culture, in pop culture, with zombie movies is that it's all virus. It's a virus. We try to root it in quote unquote realism, where it's, you know, like somebody, like a monkey got loose, and then all of a sudden, you know, like everybody's infected, and there's this patient zero, and so we go to medical science in order to stop the zombie virus. That's what's happened in the past couple of decades. But if you look at older zombie tales and older zombie movies, it is mystical. It is people being raised from the dead because of witchcraft or magic or however you want to call it. It wasn't until the later age where we got so technologically focused that it had to be medical science instead of the mystical. And so one thing that kept popping up into my brain is, if this is a Borg myth told by a Borg, it's going to be more purposeful. I think there's going to be no accident. I don't think there's going to be any lab mistakes or any virus that's going to cause them to do it. I feel like if you had a liberated Borg and they were taught something from the maturation chamber onward, whether it's true or not, like, you can describe it as anything. Now, like, they're not raised, you know, like these Borg aren't raised or anything like that. But we've learned that there's a collective consciousness. There's even a Unimatrix Zero, and where they can swap stories and where they can remember things that happened in the real world and not remember what happened in Unimatrix Zero when they're in the real world and whatever. It's this whole mess. What if it was told like one of our myths where, you know, it's something fantastical. It's something that gives the Borg a higher purpose, a higher meaning, something where, like, if you look at the three Abrahamic religions, it's very purposeful. It's there was the void, then there was light because God willed it. God made the world, God made the animals, God made people, and then they worshiped him. And so with the Borg, if the Borg, imagine this, if the Borg Queen was telling the story, was actually nice enough to say, to answer your question, where did you begin? she wouldn't say, well, there was an accident in a lab.
No, she wouldn't. You're very right in that sense. Yes.
And so that's kind of where it's stemming from in my brain, is like the headiness of it, the audacity of, like, how would the Borg Queen tell it? Because if there was ever a conversation, it would be nice to imagine one between the Borg Queen and Seven. So how would the Borg Queen tell it to Seven, and how would Seven tell it to us?
The interesting thing is, when I think of the Borg Queen explaining things, as far as she's concerned, she is God. She is the beginning, the end, the one who is many. She is the collective. She is it. Everything else, well, that doesn't matter. She's the Borg. But we're going in a very different direction from that, because we are talking about the grandiose mythology.
I was going to say, that kind of kills the story real quick.
Well, you're absolutely right. So we can't exactly go there. I really like your, like, kind of mythological angle, where it's something more than that, and it's based in some kind of higher purpose, some sort of bigger moral story than just what I came up with, what the Borg Queen would say. And I don't think maybe the Borg Queen would even tout such nonsense in her eyes. It would be something that would be spread along in the collective amongst the members of it, but acknowledged kind of for what it is. Like, oh, this is just kind of a silly story, if you will.
Yeah. Whether it's like, and for people at home, you know, like screaming, saying like, oh, the Borg don't just like sit around the water cooler, you know, and have these conversations, whether you want to call it subconscious or not, or fragments of material that circulate around the collective. I mean, it's all about the consciousness. It's all about the memories. They add people's distinctiveness to their own. So we really don't know how it works. But all we do know is that there's a shared knowledge space. And
right.
So however you guys want to interpret how we describe it is up to you.
Putting the origins, like the very first Borg, up on a pedestal.
Let's take a look at it from that perspective. How would we put the first Borg on a pedestal? So let's describe who are the first Borg.
Right. And in a mythological sense, how do we frame that? Because then I feel like if we're talking about maybe more primitive developing Borg, it's very much what I described at the top of the show. They became so technologically capable that they couldn't not exist without technology. And then ultimately, assimilation became their conquest. And then through that, they're going to assimilate everything because that's perfection. I think maybe the key word right there, perfection. That's what the Borg seek. So maybe we need to frame a story around the first conquest of perfection, perhaps. And that's why that became the Borg mission statement.
I like that. So, yes, it is a conquest for perfection. I'm thinking it's hard to move away from scientists and Star Trek. So I feel like these individuals would be scientists. So here's the first thing that popped into my head. And this is not the direction that we have to go.
Okay.
But we have six scientists, all different ages, all different races, different genders. There are six of them together, and they're all working on one problem. They are working on an energy crisis. Their society is plummeting like ours is. They are wholly dependent on a resource that is not renewable. And they are, I don't know, they're lacking in solar. They're lacking in dilithium. They're lacking in whatever. I don't know. It's for whatever reason, tech the tech. And with this, it's six scientists studying the Omega particle.
Okay.
And so they're thinking about trying to use the Omega particle as a power source. One thing that keeps happening is that they all have their special skills. They're all trying to tackle this different ways. And they each have their own ideas of how they should study this particle. And somebody has the idea, if only we could truly unify all of our brain power to tackle this problem.
Right. Imagine how much faster we could work. Imagine how much smarter we would all be for it. Yes, sort of like the mini collective in, I want to say it's the episode Unity.
Yes, that is exactly what I'm thinking of. It's not so much they're Borg yet, where they've, you know, like they have, you know, extensions for hands, or they have tubules or the eyepieces or anything like that. It's truly just telepathic links. Like they wanted to do in Scorpion with Janeway, where she's like, if you do this, the deal is off.
Right. Okay. This is cool. Let's roll with this.
So that's where it starts, where they're just like, you know what? One guy's like, I've been working on this, how about we try this? That way we wouldn't have to like send each other memos. We wouldn't even have to talk. If we had an idea, it was instantly shared with every single person in this collective, and we wouldn't have to communicate it. We wouldn't have to explain it. Everyone would just know, and so we could move forward.
Right. It would all be so instantaneous. It would be like having the internet in your head, as maddening as that would be. And oh my God, turn off the comments section, please.
So with that in mind, there's six of them, there's six voices, and they start to get used to it. It's jarring at first, but then they start getting used to it and they start making progress.
Uh-huh. They start using it to their advantage. Like they figure it out. There's a learning curve.
Yes.
And then they start realizing how advantageous it really is.
Exactly. And they're cooking with gas. And that you can see progress being made. They start reporting to Parliament saying, yeah, we're making progress because of this. We think more people should use it. And Parliament's like, I don't know about that just yet. How about, you know, like you guys just keep doing your thing and we'll be waiting for your success. And here's some more funding. And so they take that more funding and they like, this is going to sound silly, but they get more interns. They get more, you know, like they get more lab assistants. They get more staff, basically. They build up their staff. And one of the requirements is if you want to become a part of this project, you have to use the neural interface.
Right. You got to plug in.
You got to plug in. And so it grows and grows and grows. They get more successful. And it gets to the point where Parliament says, okay, we're throwing nothing but money at you. We're seeing very little return. What's going on? And they're like, well, we need more. We need more. They're craving more voices. They're craving more intelligence. And they're becoming more and more intelligent. And Parliament says no to them. And they start thinking about, what are we going to do? And they're like, well, we could take more people by force. We could take the Omega Particle with us and leave this planet and let them fend for themselves, because we now, you know, have enough know-how to leave this planet because of our combined intelligence. It's a snowball effect where they just get smarter and smarter and smarter, and it just, you know, is quantifiable and just multiplies itself each time.
It's kind of out of their control at this point too, yes?
Yes, it's starting to get out of control where it's no longer the individual. It's no longer a vote. It's now one consciousness making decisions. It's we, exactly. That's when we start realizing that something is wrong, because they start losing the I pronouns and just start talking we. And so with that in mind, that's the tipping point where if they're glorified, the perspective is that this world was killing itself with the energy crisis. And so they decided to force them to help themselves. If they weren't going to save the planet, if they weren't going to save the planet themselves, the scientists, the original Borgs, were going to do it for them.
Okay.
And if the only way to do that is to assimilate Parliament and get the funding that they need. And I'm thinking that something goes wrong with the Omega Particle. Even though they're seeking perfection, it doesn't mean that they are perfect.
Right. Okay. Oh, I'm trying to remember what Seven said in, I think it's the Omega Directive, where they're talking about what the Borg did with the Omega Particle, because it is the ultimate pursuit of perfection. Like, I think the Borg have they mastered it for a fraction of a second at best.
Right. Right.
And it's their highest pursuit. So maybe, just maybe, this group of Neo-Borg did that, and they've been chasing that high ever since.
Oh, do you know what sucks, though?
What? What did they say?
I just looked it up, and it says, according to this, it says that the Borg learned of the substance in 2145.
Ah, okay, so it can't be that ancient.
So it cannot be the Omega Particle. But what if we changed it to something else where it's something like the Omega Particle? And that's why they were trying to find the Omega Particle by the time of 2145, because it reminded them of something that they were trying to do when they started.
Okay, I got this. Yeah, they stumble upon the Omega Particle and realize that the Omega Particle is even more perfect than what they were pursuing in yesteryear.
Call it the Gamma Particle or something like that.
Well, okay.
I don't know.
We got something nothing else like that, right yeah. now, so we could go with that if we really want to.
So they assimilate Parliament, they get the money, they get the funding, and then they throw all this technology, all their intelligence at the particle, and it does work for a quick second. But then all of a sudden it starts to destabilize. And the world is going to crap. Like, it's going to kill the world. I don't know how, but it just is. Whether it kills the oxygen in the air, however you want to describe it, it's a planet killer. And okay. So...
nuclear winter.
Yeah, nuclear winter or something like that. And so they realize that the only way to save the species is to make everyone like them. What do you think about that?
No, I like it. I like it. It's desperate. There's no other real way out. I mean, it's basically like you have no choice, either join us or die. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah. If you join us, you'll be able to leave the planet. If you don't join us, you'll stay here and die.
Right. And you have the promise, if you join up with us, we will go elsewhere. We will find ways to solve the problems of our world here. you know, our species. We're going to find a way to make it work because our collective minds are smart enough. Our collective genius, if you will, is going to, that's what's going to save us, I think is what I'm getting at. So they basically assimilate everybody who's willing. Everybody else is kind of left to die and off they go. And that's the birth of the Borg Collective.
And that's the thing is like, that's the birth, but we could take it a little bit further if we wanted to. I think that would be sufficient for the episode and you can infer the rest, just the downfall. Uh-huh. But if you wanted to take it a little bit further, where you could learn about the journey where they're trying to find another planet, they're trying to find another inhabitable planet. And what they do is they find other planets, but it's not sufficient for their needs. But at the same time, they're like, well, you know, we have people here on this planet. We're not going to stay here on this planet, but that doesn't mean we have to leave the people here. I mean, they could become part of our collective, you know, like they could join us, you know, mm-hmm. and if they say no, then I mean, let's just force them to do it anyway or something like that. Or maybe they find other planets that are just as desperate as theirs. And so these people come willingly.
Ooh, so, yeah. OK, join our think tank and we'll help you, too.
Yes, that's what it is. So that's what, it's not evil.
It's well-intentioned.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it loses control of itself, and this pursuit of not just saving people anymore becomes the pursuit of perfection because they need to know everything that is possibly knowable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this runaway train leading to the Borg that we know today. Now, one criticism I have of this whole theory is we are framing it within human societal structures.
Yes.
Things like parliament, money. Now, granted, the Borg, they are humanoid in nature, at the very least. We know that.
Yes.
So this is not entirely wrong, but I do want to point that out as a potential flaw.
Why is that a flaw?
Just because it is a little, it's a little too similar to how things run for us. And Star Trek likes to do this, creating kind of a monoculture, like every society has certain aspects of similar ways that it runs, because if not, how would it be?
Right. I could tell you about this amazing different culture that, you know, where there is no parliament and, you know, like there is no, you know, all that there is that, you know, we communicate through circles in the dirt, but yet we, you know, like we have computers that are made out of flowers, you know, like I could talk like that, but then that doesn't really allow us to focus on the story
or
the message.
No, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense either. I'm just saying like, I don't know, my reality brain is just saying life exists probably in ways that we can't even imagine right now as human beings because we just are not even aware of how many variations of the way like life can mm-hmm. exist. So we're putting this completely in our own frame of reference and I don't know why, but I felt compelled to point that out just because the Borg are such a different culture. And yet, if you think back to the writer's origins, when they were coming up with the Borg, this was coming out of fear of technology in the later mm-hmm. 80s, saying everything's going to get so computerized, humans are going to be obsolete. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to get taken over by computers. And so it was like this fear of technology run amok that created the Borg. And then you add kind of the zombie aspect, and there we are with that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that fear of technology. So we could add that in a little bit more because that's the thing. Like we've developed a culture that is just a telepathic culture that feeds off of intelligence. I mean, you know, like some people might say, well, how is the Borg any different? How is your version of early Borg any different from Betazoids or something like that? And the difference here is that it's not just them talking to each other. It's them building off of each other's consciousness, multiplying their intelligence. It's a true hive mind, not just them talking to each other. But we need to add more technology into it. And so with that in mind, on their journey, as they're getting more people to join them, as they're like, life looks pretty sweet, you know, like for people who are destitute, where they're like, hey, you know, like we'll no longer be alone. You know, like we'll be able to speak with each other. Our intelligence will grow. It'll, you know, from this perspective, maybe it looks pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah. And maybe they've actually managed to save a couple of planets at this point using this massive collective genius to actually fix some problems. Like, hey, we did it. This worked. Our idea is valid. This is actually working. This is good. Getting more and more people to join their ranks to the point maybe where it's starting to get just a little maddening. Maybe there's a little too many voices and they need some way to manage this incredible consciousness of thought, which is maybe where the technological component comes in. Like maybe we need to store some of this stuff on hard drives and access it at will, and maybe do it this way because we need to settle down some of the voices and be a little more selective, sort of like a filter, if you will, so we can work even better and more efficiently. We will block out the stuff we don't need, access what we do need, and then work with what we have when we need it.
And so the first Vinculum is born.
Yeah.
And so with that built, that's one more step towards the Borg that we know. The Vinculum is built. It helps filter. It helps people tune out the noise and really focus on one thing at a time. But they need somebody to manage that Vinculum.
Enter the Borg Queen.
Exactly. Someone to filter it. Someone to help filter it. Someone to design it. Someone to maintain it. And so they come across this one race with extreme higher brain function.
Uh-huh.
But this race with extreme higher brain function does not want to be a part of this collective, does not want to be a part of it. And this is where the evil starts that backfires on them.
The forced assimilation.
They do their first forced assimilation with this race. They choose the smartest one, and then that person builds the Vinculum, but at the same time creates a back door to the Vinculum, where her brain becomes supreme, and she can now rule those voices.
I like it. Basically, what you're doing is you're creating one admin account for the whole system.
Yes! and that one admin is like super into technology. That's how she was able to build the Vinculum.
And so now she controls everything. Everybody else is beneath her, and she gets to pick and choose. From this point forward, who succeeds her, how that will happen, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
You know, everybody else is now designed to follow her instructions.
And she comes up with the idea to integrate technology more and more with the body.
Right, right.
Because that was her field of study or something like that.
And you got to keep going from that point. You've got to get even more efficient. You've got to gain even more technology. You need to learn everything from everybody. And the best way to do that is by simply assimilating them. Don't give them any chance to talk back or anything like that. I mean, look at what they do. What happens when they do that with humans. It's awful for them. So this is the way. And once you cross that line, that's it. You can't go back. So you keep right on going.
So it was the Borg's own undoing that made them who they are today, where because they forced an assimilation one time and they thought it would advance the culture that they created, it did advance it, but not in the way they wanted.
Yes. Yes. It was a little more to it than met the eye. I don't know if you want to say if they paid for it dearly or not, but it changed their society. It changed everything about them. It changed their structure. It changed their way of being in ways that they did not foresee. And, well, too late now. Lot to think about there. But I think that's a much more original and interesting and fun. Yeah, I even said the word fun. Origin of the Borg. than I think anything else that I've come across and certainly made up on my own. And I had a whole week to do it. This is why we're a good writing team, because we'll bounce these ideas off of one another, and it's always better than the sum of our own parts.
Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. That is the episode. That is the To the Journey version of the Borg origins and Borg mythos. This is not canon, obviously, because we're not hired by CBS or Paramount, but it is the To the Journey version. And I'd like to say, you know what? This is the Trek.fm version of the Borg origin.
It is, until somebody else comes up with their own idea and they're hosting their own Trek FM Voyager podcast. So there you have it. For the time being, this stands.
All right. Well, next week, we're going to do something even better than this topic.
What? What are you? Okay. Wait. What are you going to come up with that tops this gigantinormous topic? And how much are you going to stress us both out with it?
I'll tell you next week. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey.